My name is Jonette Gay, and I'm the pastor of Otterbein United Methodist Church. I have with me today our media specialist.
Hi, Jason Burgess.
And we want to talk and we want to listen. Our faith is seen and understood in many topics. We're glad you've tuned in today to Hey Hey, anybody listening?
Back, Chris. Thanks for coming in to do another podcast. We had so much fun last time.
Yeah, good to be back.
This morning, I was looking through my Facebook feeds, and rarely am I responding to anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are just, you know, I really don't want to respond to them.
But sure.
I saw this one where it was this a whisk standing in front of a bunch of others, a whisk, and it just said, "Sometimes in life, you have to take a whisk." And For some reason,
I'm thankful. For I was that. Like, that's really good.
I was like, all right, you know what? I've been kind of complacent about some things, you know. And I was like, all right, I need to just, you know, when I came out of treatment, everything was a risk. Everything. I mean, I tried to keep things slow and low, if you will, and did what he said, sprinkled things out here and there to see what it was, because I didn't know what I cared about anymore, you know, or what I liked or what I responded to anymore. And things all sort of came together where I'm like, oh, this is great. But now I feel like I'm locked into those things. I still need to be able to reach out. There's other things out there that may be just as important as those and may work together just as well. So,
yeah. Yeah, fear is a weird thing. Fear is a weird thing because you never know. Risk aversion is fear. That's all it is. The base emotion is fear, and so when I was a kid, I look back now and I think I might have been a fearful kid. I might have been a fearful, like the definition of fearful kid. I compare that kid to my kids, and I don't think I was a fearful kid. Circumstances were different, but I remember early in my Christian walk, I was, I don't know, 24 or 25. I had become a part of a church. I'd been baptized. It was a Methodist church in Wichita, and there was a men's trip to go hike up a mountain in Colorado. So I signed up for the men's trip, and I went. And first time I'd been in mountains of any significance, you know, first time I'd been high enough where altitude was a thing. Where you know it impacted your ability to breathe. So we go up, we set up camp at a certain elevation and just to acclimate ourselves for the next day. And then we start, you know, going up, hiking up this thing, and you're getting more tired as you go, but it's not dragging. It was still fun.
Yeah.
Still beautiful, still gorgeous, but you're noticing I'm breathing a little differently than I was. We get to the top of this mountain. There's a little chapel up there, a little log home kind of chapel. And we had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It was fantastic. Best peanut butter and jelly I've ever had, probably because of the experience,
yes,
right?
<hold up>.
Right. So we decided to come down, and this buddy of mine, Josh, and I decide to kind of hike down together, and now gravity's going for you because you want to go down. And so we start hiking faster and faster, and eventually we get to almost a run down this trail, like to the point where if I had misstepped, I probably would have stumbled and fallen. And I had this experience, I've never had it before or since, where these fearful experiences as a child flashed before my eyes. You know, gym as an elementary schooler, getting kicked by a kid, a playground situation later, and just kind of kept flashing and flashing. And the Lord's Prayer popped in my mind. Just the Lord's Prayer going through it. And I had a sudden epiphany that I had had some fears that were holding me back from going into ministry, from considering going into ministry. And at that point, I'm not saying it was God saying, look at all these fears, you should go into ministry. That was something I was thinking about for weeks and weeks and weeks and hadn't pulled the trigger on. Mm-hmm. And then this experience helped me see it as, oh, that's a fear. It changed my perception of the situation. I had been perceiving it prior as, I don't know if I want to, you know, I've got a career, the money's pretty good, family's pretty good, pretty happy. I don't think I want to do that. But it was still something I was stressing about. Then it was re-seen, perceived as, oh, wait, that might have been fear. It might have been a fear thing that was stopping me that I have had since as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And once I could see that, perceive it, then I could act on it differently.
I think I've always been sort of conscious of fears.
Okay.
And I don't know. It always seemed like once I was afraid of something, if I felt like I could do anything about it, I would do something about mm-hmm. it. Like, I don't know. I just always remember this when I was in college. I remember there was an old set of train tracks, and it went to a train tunnel. And, you know, I get scared of the dark. And, you know, mm-hmm. I remember I would go out there and make myself at night walk through this train tunnel and back through, and to where I would get to a point where I enjoyed it rather than I was terrified. But I'd always be terrified in the middle of it. You couldn't see anything. And I don't know, there's always some water dripping or something in there, so you never know what sounds are going on around you.
But, yeah.
I always think about that whenever I'm afraid. I'm like, just do that thing. There's a reason that you're paying any attention to it anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Once you're aware that it's a fear, mm-hmm. a thing, mm-hmm. and not just I'm bored with it or numb to it or it's just a business thing, or it's, you know, mm-hmm. instead of seeing it that way, if you actually see it as, oh my goodness, I've been afraid of something, it's freeing. It's, oh, got it. Like I think of, like, when you think of Jesus' ministry, or you not just his ministry, you hear others in scripture say it, this idea of fear not, right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder, I think that speaks to a truth in the reality of the kingdom of heaven, this existence that is now and not yet of kingdom of God, that it is an existence that is absent of fear, or you have no reason to fear. And so when you are living into that existence, then suddenly the limitations are reframed. So I'm in a place in an existence where the God of all, it does not have it out for me. Really? Doesn't have it out for me? So I don't have to fear anything from the one above? Oh, okay. So now I can see my existence a little differently. Or if I have one who walks into my life and says, you know what, this grief and mourning that happens in our life that actually is in its own way a source of blessing. In fact, blessed are those who mourn and grieve, for they're going to be comforted. So this isn't going to last forever. This is this pain that I fear, because we fear being in grief. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe I can attack that differently. I think maybe that's one of the messages of scripture is the idea of fear not goes beyond just a reassurance of, hey, you don't have to be afraid of anything, don't worry about it. But no, here's the grounds of our fearlessness. That's, actually, I could spend some time on that, I think, thinking about that.
Fear's an interesting thing. I don't know. I at some point began to believe that fear is something that we've created as humans. Mm-hmm. Because I started to think about it, like, if you're in that tunnel, for instance, you know, what was it that I feared about being there in the dark? And it was really my understanding that I didn't have any idea what was in my surrounding.
Yeah.
It was the idea that I could not know what was in my surrounding. I start to think, fear is about what you know. You're not afraid of the street until you know that a car could hit you, you know?
Or at least your mind takes that and puts it into a situation.
I mean, I'm not a psychologist. I didn't study psychology. Actually, I didn't even take a psychology class or anything, but I feel like we were capable of saying, you know, just as we were talking before, some negative thing happens to you, all of a sudden you develop a fear about that thing. Why was that thing negative to you? Probably because you didn't deal with it in a way that provided any understanding about it. And then it's sort of the knowledge that you don't have a knowledge over it is fear, I guess.
Yeah. So that reminds me of like feelings. Something I learned a little later in life was to see negative feelings differently. Something had happened in my life. Actually, it happened repeatedly in my life, and then I found out. And suddenly, all these feelings come, and they were negative, you know, scary, confusing, upset kind of feelings that overwhelmed and threatened to overwhelm. And one of the things I learned in that process, in that time frame, was that I saw those feelings a certain way. I perceived them a certain way with fear. Like, oh no, this intrusive thought is going to come, or oh no, that's going to come, or no, oh no, this is going to come. And that, you know, derails you. Your lizard brain takes over, you know. But to see them for what they are simply feelings that are negative. That's all they are. They're a negative feeling. They're real. Negative feelings are real, and they're part of your body, and you experience them. But they come and they go. They don't rule. They're not reality. They're not indicative of the future. They're just negative feelings. And then here's all these other feelings like joy and, you know, excitement. Those are positive feelings. What do we know about those? They come and they go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can try and chase them, but once you get them, they're not going to stay. Like, experience them and enjoy them when you got them, but that's just what they are. That perception, that seeing of your feelings. So you think of the tunnel. What's the negative feeling? It's fear of I don't know. Okay, that's a negative feeling. It's going to come and it's going to come and it's going to go. But right now, I'm in an empty space that is no different than outside the tunnel, except it's darker. You know, maybe you see it differently. But until you're aware that you were afraid, it's hard to figure it out.
I don't know how it's relative, but I'm thinking about this tunnel a little bit. So
I like the tunnel.
Yes. So something, because you were talking about joy, other feelings, I think I developed this realization that I become joyful by facing those fears, because they are only temporary. And when you've walked through the tunnel at the other side, you're like, I don't know, maybe it's some sense of self-confidence, or maybe it's just the knowledge that, oh, nothing is going to happen in there, regardless of what my mind keeps telling me, you know?
So,
and it's that joy that you get at the accomplishment of sort of, I don't want to say overcoming the fear, because it's still possible at any time, you know.
Maybe you look back at it.
Yeah,
it's behind you. So I think of like sickness. You know that feeling, you get sick, you feel miserable, but you remember like the day that you feel better, like after you've gotten over it.
Yeah,
and suddenly you're full of energy.
Yes.
And happy, and boy, this dinner tastes great. You know?
I used to like the flu because I'm like, this is a cleansing because I always feel so much better afterwards.
After it's done. Yeah. After it's done, you feel like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm. I'll see if I can remember it in my head here, but maybe I'll see it, find it here. But so in my, in one of my aerobics classes, I do a 5-minute meditation at the end.
And,
I used to just get them off the internet and play them for them. But now I'm either looking for scripts or trying to write them myself. And, it's the YMCA. It's a Christian organization.
Right.
So some people are a little bit afraid of meditation, I've noticed.
Yeah. Because, old understandings of what meditation means.
Yes.
Yes.
They have this sort of like, and it is a spiritual experience, but it's not, it's whatever you put into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to, like, I'll find a script that somebody's written and I'm like, they're too afraid to get spiritual in them. It's always, it never really actually encompasses you. It's always, so I'm trying to word things so that I can tap into the person's spirituality without scaring them.
without creating a block to the experience. Yeah. While you're looking that up, I reminded of, it was at my first church where I was serving in a pastoral role, and we were approached by an outside group, a nice group in the community that wanted to host yoga classes, and they were looking for a location.
Mm-hmm.
The basement of the church was not being used for anything during the week, so it seemed like a no-brainer to me. Of course, I bring it to the leadership team, and I walk straight into what these people had been warned about in the 1950s about yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 1950s and 60s and 70s,
sure,
the understanding of yoga was, you know, outsider, this is demonic, it's
Asian, maybe Japanese, or
maybe
who's
a little,
doing that.
You never know who's, you know, the idea of mantras, you know, of course, now these people had lived through the mm-hmm. Cultural revolution where things like communes that turned into cults was happening, and where mantras were in some areas being completely misused or saying things over and over again. So they brought that understanding into it. It wasn't just like hearing rumors and being misinformed. They also had cultural baggage that was there. I had no idea any of this was going on.
Mm.
So I'm like, I can't, you know, we should do yoga. This is going to be great. Let's offer it. Why even charge for the rental of the space? It helps people. And folks were like completely against it. And then I did the research, and then I learned, oh shoot. Okay. Now I have to look at this differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't end up doing it, but if I were that Chris doing it over again, I probably would have started with, all right, what are these objections? Let's think through those and let's see if there's some way to do this. And we would have ended up being able to do it, but I had no idea. And now I do.
Well, one thing I think people are scared of with meditation is because they already understand a meditation if they're church-going individuals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you do it every Sunday in service.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes life's not always directed specifically to those things, you know, those teachings you're supposed to apply to everything around you. And I think people are afraid to realize Jesus's name doesn't actually have to be in the script in order for you to be connected to that.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I think of the book of Ruth. It mentions God maybe once,
mm-hmm.
twice, maybe. There's a couple of books, Song of Songs and, what was the other one? Is it Ezra, where God isn't mentioned at all? And yet, that's Holy Writ, that's Scripture. Mm-hmm. Or the flip side, you know, who says the Lord's Prayer every single time with full rational thinking about what it means?
Mm-hmm.
No. We meditate on it. We say it without necessarily understanding it or thinking about it.
Sure, and there's something else going on while that's happening.
Absolutely.
maybe some way, a way of getting to an enlightenment, sort of a way of getting to a better, another perception.
Yeah, to bring us to a different level of encounter with mm-hmm. with our holy God. Or sometimes we are thinking very hard about it and we're mm-hmm. in our prayer. I mean, there's a great little spectrum that everybody does. Same thing. When you're saying a little meditation after a class, mm-hmm. I mean, as long as it's not anti, like, as long as it's not evil, we're okay.
Yeah.
We can do this. Yeah.
Well, it's scary because people will associate evil to things that are good just because they've got some misperception of what's happening there, you know?
Yep, we do.
The whole idea of the meditation is really just to calm you and to bring you to a spot where you can think freely without the, you know, distractions of the world around you.
Yeah, yeah.
To where you can actually allow God to speak through you.
Or come to a new realization about something that's going on. Yeah.
I enjoy talking with you, Chris. I'll have to have you come back in here even when you're not hanging around.
Love to. I love talking. Love listening. Why not?
So glad you were with us today, and I hope you'll tune in again as we listen to one another.